And we'd get in a meeting and they would say, well, we want to do this, 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 this. And I'm thinking to myself, not out loud, and they want to get fired. Are you out of your mind? And then they'll turn around and say, okay, Vic, how can we make this happen? And I said, well, let me get together with my staff and I'll come back and let you know. So I would leave the meeting, go in the office, close my door, and this is the truth. I would say, Lord, I have no idea how to pull this off. That would be my prayer, very simple prayer. Then I would get together with my leadership team and say, this is what they want to do. Now here's the secret. I see a boss over there. So here's the secret. Whenever a boss tells you something and you know it's not right, what you do is you figure out a way to do it the right way, and then you present it to him or her in such a way that they think they came up with the idea. And then you could do it and implement it and not go crazy. Okay? So I would say, Lord, I have no idea what this is. I am totally inadequate for this. And we would sit, we would brainstorm, and the team would come up with something, and then we would fine-tune it, and I would go and say, well, you said you wanted to do this, this, and this, and we can do it, this, 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 and I think you also want to do this, and I believe that you were thinking of covering this, right? Oh, yes! You see? And you get it done. And I got that from this verse. And whenever you feel inadequate, he says, don't be anxious. Your Father takes care of it. Then he says after that, which of you by worrying can add one cubit or one inch to his height? You know what he's saying? Sometimes you're anxious because you're attempting to change something you cannot control. So he says, make situations beyond control. Do you know that parents today are so into sports that some of them, this is true, some of them take their little 7 or 8 year old boy or 12 year old, whatever it is, to the doctor, and they want him to do these scans to find out, well, how tall do you think he will grow to be? Will he be big enough to pitch a baseball or play basketball? And then, you know, and they say, well, based on bone structure, blah, blah, blah. And then they go giving the kids all kinds of supplement because they figured this is the way to fame and fortune. And Jesus said, "You, whenever you're in a situation that's beyond the control," he said, I want you to think about this first. Which of you, by worrying, can add 1 inch to your stature? Now that hit home because growing up, you know, there were a lot of tall guys around me, Trevor, Maurice, all these guys, and we go playing basketball. And my brother, he was about 6 feet at like 13 or whatever it is, and we'd be all playing basketball, right? And I'd be saying, okay, maybe this week. Maybe that week. And I realized I wasn't getting to where they were. So the other thing, I developed skills, jumping ability, ball handling ability. I think there's a picture of you looking at the bottom of my sneakers that you have hung up in your house as I'm jumping air. Okay? And Jesus is saying, who of you by being worried can add a single inch to your height? Who of you by being worried, listen, can add 1 hour to your life? You come in here, you worry about this one sneezing and that one sneezing. Can all that worrying add 1 more hour to your life? It can't. Whenever we encounter circumstances which we cannot change, the only wise option is to turn them over to the only one who can handle them, that is God. When we're trying to control them, We are demonstrating unbelief, and we are setting ourselves up for failure, pain, and frustration. Then he says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lily of the fields, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? But listen to what he says, O ye of little faith. He didn't say little faith when I was feeling inadequate. He didn't say little faith when I was worried or attempting to change things I cannot control. But he says, O ye of little faith. You know what he says? The third reason why you get anxious is because you fail to trust God to provide your needs. You don't think he's going to do it. It's like a town. They were going through a drought period. No rain. No rain at all. And I forgot I have to stay in front of the shield. And that's not good for a preacher who likes to move. But he says, we're going to go up to the hill. It was a little hill. And the whole town will meet there for prayer on Thursday. So Thursday came, and all these families are going up. And one family is going up, and they're looking for their little son, and they can't find him. Finally, they leave the house, and they go up to pray. A little while later, the little boy comes up, and he's dragging umbrellas and raincoats and everything. And they said, what are you doing? He says, well, we're going to pray for rain, aren't we? Hello? O ye of little faith. You see, he says, Jesus explains. He says, look, the Lord clothes the lily of the fields with more glory than even Solomon. Don't worry about clothing. Don't worry about what you need. You know why we worry? Because many of us don't know what we need. You know that? The Apostle Paul said, listen, I was praying to God. I prayed, God, God, take away this thorn in my flesh, thorn in my flesh. And then God said to him, my grace is sufficient. You know what Paul says? I realized he left it there to keep me humble. He finally realized what his need was. I needed the thorn to keep me humble. Well, I could have said, well, you know, I'm Paul who went up to the third heavens. I'm Paul that does miracles. I'm Paul, when I talk to God, he listens. But you see, God says, my grace is sufficient. So Paul says, you know, sometimes God leaves me with the pain just to keep me humble, just to keep my attention. Maybe I would have gotten puffed up. Oh, Brother Archie, how could you say that? Well, he says that in Romans, doesn't he? The good that I should do, I don't do. Right? And the bad that I don't do, that's what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. You see, but the issue is, many of us don't know our needs. And so sometimes the situation looks like the Lord has let us down, but in reality, he's supplying a need that we may not even know that we have. And so when the Apostle Paul suffered so much mistreatment and hardship, Scripture never records him complaining about his circumstances. Shipwrecks and beatings were not happy times, but he endured them with inner peace and confidence. Why? Because he knew and trusted the Lord. He had faith in the Lord. And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, he says this. Not that I speak in regard to need. Now listen to this. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Paul, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. He says, I've learned the good, the bad, and the ugly. What's the secret, Paul? I can do all things. Oh, I don't have any believers out there, do I? I can do all things, what? Through whom? Christ, who strengthens me.
So the third issue
that we have is we need to have our faith strengthened. Then after saying that, he says, therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what we shall drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows you need clothes. He knows you need food. He knows you're out of a job. He knows you're having financial difficulties. He knows you're having family issues. He knows you're struggling with the sin. He knows. So what do I do? Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what it's addressing? Misplaced priorities. Okay, misplaced priorities. Misplaced, feeling of inadequacy gets me anxious. Changing things I can't control gets me anxious. Failure to trust God to provide my needs gets me anxious. And also misplaced priorities gets you anxious. Don't focus on the necessities and the things of this world. It says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Remember Mary and Martha? Martha had a misplaced priority. I'm cooking a meal for Jesus because he showed up in my house. And of course, he should be fed. She's cooking rice and peas and callaloo. She's making morbi. She's cooking bakes. And she looks out and she sees Mary at the feet of Jesus seeking first his kingdom. She throws down her towel. And she's so mad, she's not going to talk to Mary. She said, Jesus, you tell her to get up off that ground and come here and help me. Because I ain't speaking to her because I'm cooking a meal for you and I'm mad. And Jesus said, I didn't send you to do all that. Only one thing is necessary. You could have given me a peanut butter sandwich. Mary has chosen the better part. Why? Her priority is to be, what good is it having the Savior in the house and you don't have time for the Savior? What good is it? How many of us are anxious because our priorities have been misplaced? You're worried about the job. You're worried about this. And I'm not saying don't be concerned, but you're worried. And so you misplace. You stop reading your Bible. You're focusing on what Trump did, what Trump said, COPD, CDC, and all these letters, LGBTQ. A and now it's A and A plus. They're gonna add in all these acronyms and all these letters. Misplaced priorities. Remember that person God says, you fool. You building barns and bigger ones and you're gonna do this. He says, tonight I'm calling your soul in. Now who will own what you have? Misplaced priority. No treasure laid up for Christ. He says, who will own what you have? Your relatives are going to fight over your will. And he says, when you seek first the kingdom of God, his rule and authority over our lives, his righteousness is Christ's character working out in us. When we make it our priority to acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, seeking to walk obediently in his way, God promises to supply whatever else we need. He knows exactly what is best for us. And we misplace. When you're in your 20s and 30s, listen to this. When you're a teenager, you're worrying about what college to get into. Then you get into college, but you don't stop. You got a new set of worries. You start worrying, am I going to graduate? Then you graduate, but it doesn't end. Now you're worrying, I need a job. Right? And then you get a job. Then eventually you go out on your own, right? And then you start worrying, oh, they told me I got to save for retirement. I got to think about retirement. So you're worrying about that. You're worrying about that. Your family, you're worrying about that. Okay? And then you retire. Right? And then you start worrying. Wait a minute. Will I have enough money to last me in my retirement? Okay? And then later on, you hit 60, 65, and you start worrying about Medicare and supplemental this and supplemental that. And then you hit 70 and you say, oh my goodness, the Bible says I'm only allowed 70 years, and if by reason of good health, 10 years, so next year I'm on borrowed time. Right? And you start worrying, tell the truth, shame the devil, you start worrying about that. Misplaced priorities. You know what Jesus said about that? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Why? Because it enables you not to do what verse 34 says. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Listen to this. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In plain English, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow has its own set of problems. And I just told you what they were. He says, don't try to live tomorrow today.
Planning ahead is good,
but sometimes our calendars get so overloaded. So we have about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has trouble of its own. Instead of becoming anxious about our responsibilities, our commitments, etc., we should turn our schedule over to God. And if we wake up with our thoughts on the Lord, don't miss this, committed ourselves to do whatever he says, whatever opportunities he sends our way to further his kingdom work, he says you'll be able to go through the day with peace and joy because you will see him working out everything. And when Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians that we read, he was in jail. And instead of being anxious, he told the Philippians, pray about everything with prayers and thanksgiving in chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. And so there's so many things which we can thank God for. I heard Brother said, we could thank God that we're in here today healthy. We could thank God that he provided come in and we say, Lord, we did as best as we can, but there's just stuff out of our control. So we turn that over to you. I ain't going to worry. I'm not going to be foolish, but I ain't going to worry. There's stuff out of our control. Okay? And I'm turning them over to you. God protects. He provides. He always keeps his promises. And when we focus on these things, God's peace guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, no matter how difficult our circumstances are. But I want to say this because I know people are joining Zoom and elsewhere.
All of this means nothing to you when I'm saying about not
worrying if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. If you don't know Christ as Savior, you better worry. If you don't know Christ as Savior, you better be anxious. Okay? Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, he said,
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No
one comes to the Father except they come through me. Now let me tell you this. If you don't know Jesus, how in the world do you think God's promises apply to you? The only prayer that God recognizes for a sinner is this prayer: Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, God, through his goodness and mercy, could let you have good days. He says, I cause my rain to fall on the just and the unjust. But none of God's promises are yours if you don't know Christ as Savior. If they were, then why would Jesus have to die on the cross? And that's what people don't understand. People want to give a wink and a nod to God, and then they expect their lives to go right. And they think being blessed, I was sick, and I got better. That doesn't mean anything. It's just a change in the condition of your body. So if you don't know Christ as Savior, listen carefully, you better worry. Because when you stand before God and your name is not written in the book of life, and the only way it gets there is inscribed through the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the ink that's used, he's going to tell you, depart from me, I don't know you, into everlasting fire. And so if there's anyone listening today in here, you don't know Christ as Savior, please surrender your heart to him by simply saying, Lord, I acknowledge, according to your word, I'm a sinner. And I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior. I surrender my life to you through faith in Christ. I want him to be Lord of my life, so that I can hear, enter in. If he's knocking at your heart during the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, do not deny him. He may have brought you this far, but he may not take you further. You see, two thieves were on the cross. One got saved, so we all know there's hope. One went to a lost eternity, so that we can never, ever assume. And I've talked to people and I say, well, I think when I get older, you know, whatever, whatever, before I die, I might look at it. You don't know if you're going to live to be old. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own set of problems. That's why the Bible says now, today is the accepted time. So, in closing, remember this. The call of God never takes us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. And he's promised to meet all our needs. The choice is ours. We can either live life with mistrust and anxiety or trust the Lord to provide and watch over us. He has all the power to meet our needs with the omniscience to know what's best. And it may not be what we like, but his ways are always right because he loves us. So as in 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Let us close in prayer. Eternal God, our Father, we are so grateful and thankful that your word is sufficient. So many times we get anxious, but we don't identify the root cause of it. Perhaps it's a feeling of inadequacy. Perhaps it's a misplaced priority. Perhaps we're worrying about things that we cannot change. Heavenly Father, we want to acknowledge that many times Jesus' statement, "O ye of little faith," is so true. We know a little faith can move mountains, but he's not speaking of it in a positive sense. Because he's saying we don't even have that small amount of faith so that we can indeed move mountains. And so we acknowledge our shortcomings. And like one of all, we say, help our unbelief, that we may truly seek you first in your kingdom and all your righteousness, so that all the other things that we're hoping to get in accordance with your will be added to us. We thank you for this day, a day we've been looking forward to. And we know, oh God, that your word says the days ahead will not be smooth, but we're not anxious. For we just simply turn these cares and these anxieties over to you, and we move forward on your promises. We thank you for each person that's gathered here and the families represented here, and for those on Zoom and on the telephone. And we know, Heavenly Father, your word will not return unto you void. We think if there's anyone here who doesn't know Christ, that their first priority would be to put their full faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And this we pray in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.